This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It is actually almost here. We are really in 2020 now, and the New Hampshire primary is just over a month away. So the presidential candidates are in the thick of it out there. Senator Elizabeth Warren just finished an event in Concord. South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg has a town hall in Keene tonight. And WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks is between those events now in Concord, New Hampshire. Anthony, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tiziana. Always good to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. So you just got out of a Warren event, right? What'd she say?
Yeah, well, she showed up at a town hall event in Concord. Lots of energy. Several hundred people were here. And her message was pretty consistent with what it's been for the past year. She wants what she calls big structural changes, including a wealth tax on the super rich to pay for a whole bunch of programs, including universal child care, preschool, debt relief, tuition debt relief for student debt, that is college student debt, tuition-free public colleges. And, you know, she makes this pitch contrasting her approach to more moderate Democrats. Here's a bit of what she said.
If the best Democrats can offer is business as usual after Donald Trump, then Democrats will lose. We win when we have big enough ideas to meet the big problems in people's lives, and we get out there and fight for them.
So that's been a pretty consistent message from her, and it is getting real now, Anthony. So what are you hearing from voters? How is she resonating with them right now?
Well, I mean, it depends how, two ways to answer it. The polls suggest that Warren has slipped a bit since this past fall. You know, and I spoke to a number of people here today who say they're still making up their minds, which is normal for this time of year. At the same time, you find a lot of enthusiasm for her at these events. I spoke to Wendy Thomas. She's a Democratic state representative from Merrimack who talked about why she's been with Warren from the start.
It was her intelligence, her ability to think on her feet, her emphasis on people over profit that just swung me. I'm also a writer, and she's one of the best writers I've seen. I mean, she's just a really intelligent, strong woman.
Anthony, before that, you mentioned that her poll numbers are softening a little. We have reason to believe that her fundraising is as well. She hasn't given her final Q4 numbers, but her campaign sent a message recently that they're behind. So what are you hearing about that?
Yeah, they are behind. They sent out an email to their supporters last Friday, this past Friday. And I guess for the fourth quarter of last year, they'd raised about $17 million. They haven't put out the final number, but if that number holds or if it's in that neighborhood, it represents a significant decrease from the previous quarter. So what the folks in the campaign are saying is, hey, look, you know, this, we're not happy about this, but they make the case that they've sort of built the infrastructure for the long haul and that this is a bump in the road and that they can sort of weather that bump. But clearly, with the kind of numbers we're seeing from people like Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg and even Joe Biden's numbers are up, you know, this isn't great news for them right now.
Sanders has had a different kind of bump as of his own, Anthony. You kind of alluded to it. His Q4 fundraising numbers are really strong, $34.5 million in the fourth quarter of 2019, larger than any candidate has raised in a single quarter so far. What does that tell us about his strength in New Hampshire and potentially his strength further down the primary?
Well, I mean, it tells us that, you know, he remains a force to be reckoned with in the Democratic Party. I mean, you mentioned that number, $34.5 million in the fourth quarter is extraordinary. A couple of other numbers. Total for this year, $96 million from 5 million different people who averaged $18 each. So it just shows that Sanders has huge staying power, and there's evidence of that in the polls. And to bring this back to Elizabeth Warren, you know, I spoke to Dante Scala, professor of political science at the University of New Hampshire, and he talks about how Warren is sort of caught in a bind in this present moment, kind of boxed in between Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg. Here's what he said.
I think Elizabeth Warren is boxed in right now. Ideologically, she's boxed in by the continued persistent success of Bernie Sanders and his ability to hold his own in a race with multiple viable contenders, including Warren herself, for that progressive vote. Demographically, Warren's roadblock is, I think, primarily Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, primarily Pete Buttigieg, according to Dante, because they're attracting, they're both fighting over the same group or some of the same group of highly educated voters. And so that also explains, I think, why as Warren has gone down, Buttigieg has gone up.
You know, Anthony, we've seen a shrinking of the Democratic field, and a lot of the diversity has shrunk out of the field. It's notable that the rock and the hard place she's between there are both men. Is there any sense that her support is softening as a result of anything having to do with gender?
It's hard to say. You know, it's so difficult for me to answer a question like that from where I am. And I can tell you anecdotally. I mean, when I've encountered people who have reservations about Elizabeth Warren, you will often hear things like, I love everything she says, I love everything she stands for, but I'm concerned that she's not the one who can beat Donald Trump. And they're afraid of that, you know, go big or go home approach. And they're thinking, well, you know, maybe Pete Buttigieg, maybe Joe Biden with a slightly more moderate approach is the one to go on. And sure, gender plays a role. I mean, I think you also, I mean, I've talked to female voters out in the field who sort of say, it's about time we have a female president, but I'm worried that trying to fight this one right now, maybe not such a good idea when the number one priority is to get Donald Trump out of the White House. So you hear that out there. How that actually translates into the poll numbers, you know, I can't really speculate about that.
So, Anthony, you said, you mentioned, you know, people hungering for somebody more moderate because they think that might be a better chance of Democrats defeating Donald Trump. Former HUD Secretary Julian Castro dropped out of the race today. We've seen a lot of diversity and more experienced candidates dropping out. California Senator Kamala Harris last month, both arguably more qualified to be president, but someone like Pete Buttigieg is surging. No federal government experience, mayor of a very small Midwest town. Why is he surging? Why do you think he's doing so well, especially in places like New Hampshire?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, a lot of it has to do, I think, with his message. I mean, he's very poised. He's very polished. He seems to be sort of offering a message of this sort of perfect, you know, Goldilocks message, not too hot, not too cold, just right, if you will. It also has to be said that he's done a great job with organization. He has, if not the most, the biggest organization in New Hampshire, he's got one of the biggest organizations in New Hampshire and in Iowa. Now, that could be a result of how well he's doing, or it could be one of the reasons for how well he's doing, but it is an indication of his strength, and that continues to grow. And I'm curious to see him tonight. As you mentioned, he's going to be talking over in Keene, and I haven't seen him since before Christmas, so it'll be interesting to gauge what kind of energy is there for that event tonight.
You know, in general, how important is ground game now this close to this close to the vote? And I should just note, I want to backtrack for a second and say Pete Buttigieg is now former mayor of South Bend, Indiana. So how important is the ground game now?
Oh, I think it's really important. And I think, you know, we have to, I'm in New Hampshire, but we can't forget that Iowa precedes New Hampshire. And when you're talking about a state that caucuses rather than, you know, it's just an open election and a primary vote, organization is so, so important. I mean, to get people out, to convince them to come out on a cold winter night and sit around a caucus room for, you know, what might be hours, is the result of organization. So it's absolutely paramount. And then in terms of, you know, how well these folks do in New Hampshire, you know, Iowa could have a lot to say about that, because right now we've got this sort of four-person race, and depending upon what happens in Iowa, I think it's going to have a lot to say about what happens in New Hampshire a week later.
Now, Anthony, that really underscores something that may not really have hit home for people. New Hampshire is still fully in play, right? I mean, there are a lot of people in New Hampshire who have not picked, if they're voting in the Democratic primary, who they're going to vote for. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Our last poll, which we did, about a month ago, maybe a little longer ago, the Boston Globe poll before that showed the same thing, that although there's a sort of knot of four candidates at the top, Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg, not necessarily in that order, but those are the four leading candidates. You know, the candidate that has the biggest number of support The biggest number belongs to the people who haven't made up their mind. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
So this race is still very volatile. It's still up in the air, and there's a real sense of it being unsettled. But, Tiziana, one of the things you hear from voters a lot, it's not like, you know, oh, my gosh, it's so terrible, I don't know who I'm going to vote for. You hear again and again, there's a lot, there are a lot of really good people to vote for, and I just haven't figured it out yet. So, you know, it depends on, upon how you look at it. But I'm getting a sense that people are still very energized. And this moment after New Year's is when this, when a lot of people who haven't been paying attention start paying attention with, you know, as you mentioned at the beginning, a month to go before the primary.
All right. WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Thanks, Anthony.
My pleasure.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.